Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way. Podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
To restock the shelves of professional basketball.
The only thing that matters is they all eventually want to play with guys who are on their level.
Let's see what the NBA movers and shakers have in mind. This is a draft week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at SHURWAY.com.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what to do? Ahoy!
Hello.
Sorry, I was a little late there on my ahoy. I had to run Dirt's wallet back to him.
Yeah, he dropped his wallet in here, and he was really fat once.
Holy hell.
We looked at his driver's license.
Well, there was a wallet laying on the ground. I figured it was one of the guys, so I opened it up, and sure enough, first off, $3 is what Dirt's packing.
Oh, I love that you checked.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
$3?
$3, and then one of the best driver's license photos that you will ever see. First off, he had to be stoned to the bejeebers in that photo. Long hair, and then would you say about 30 extra pounds than what he's packing right now?
At least.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
He's looking good. I'm going to show you mine. Then I want to see yours, too. Driver's license photos never look good. But
mine probably doesn't look any different because mine is fairly recent when I moved down.
What do you think of that? I'm actually somewhat satisfied with that.
Yeah, that's not terrible. I said that just looks like you. I don't think any.
Yeah,
they're
not
just
bad.
No, they're just normal.
Yeah, we look about the same weight.
I had a little more hair maybe in that photo.
Nice goat going on there.
Yeah, it's normal. Yeah. Now, you used to have one. I remember I've seen your old driver's license.
Yeah, my old one was with my soul patch.
Yeah, you had the soul patch, and that was pretty good. And then again, that was Chunky Rop.
I was a little chunkier than I am now.
But Dirt's was great when I walked it back, and I was like, here you go. And Dirt's like, oh, boy. I was like, yeah, it's good photos. He's like, you like that?
What else did he have in there?
Oh, I just opened it up and to see whose it was, and I saw the photo in there. I was like, oh, it's Dirt. And then when you open up the wallet, it was right there, and I happened to see there was like a buck, and I was like, what? $3. And I just kind of smiled.
Well, hopefully we caught him at a bad time. I'm pro cash.
Yeah.
But there are times where you get caught with low levels of cash.
Certainly.
And you just can't replenish yet.
That's so funny because I have cash in my wallet right now, but I almost never have cash in my wallet.
Really?
At most I'll have like five bucks because 99% of places take cards. So
no, they do. But I've always been big on cash for tips.
Yeah.
Like you always need,
also on the receipt when you go.
Well, and it's
no,
just
like guys like, I don't know, just there are different people that you have to tip that you can't tip in car. Like cash is king, man.
It
you
is.
Just have cash.
We went up to Chambers, right? And
yeah, there you go.
Over the weekend.
Good example.
And we were going to pick up the dinner for the two guys that came with us that made the bid for Special Olympics Oregon. Well, I had to leave a little before you did. My family came and picked me up. And instead of having to do this whole, hey, I'll pay you back, or do we give them two cards, it's nice to be able to peel off, you know, a couple 20s and be like, here you go, you pick it up. I'm with you on that. And I will tell you this, Rop has made many impacts on my life, mostly negative over the years.
Thank you.
But one thing that Rop did convert me, and this was like 10 years ago, Rop converted me to A, cash, and B, the tiny wallet.
Yeah, but I'm a money clip guy.
Well, same, yeah.
I'm not a wallet guy.
No, the money clip thing.
Do you have a money clip now?
No, I went with I've got the little tiny.
Oh, I see.
Well, it's got like a money clip. I don't know what you call it, like a billfold maybe?
That's a bit of a hybrid.
Yeah, a bit of a hybrid thing. But I have a money clip, and I did that for a little bit, but I've kind of gone to this Colonel Littleton, by the way, which once again is a place that you turned me on to.
Great.
I used to carry, Dirt had the Costanza wallet.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was thick.
You know what will be interesting? Somebody take note of this because we won't.
Yeah.
It is June 21st of 2018.
Yeah.
If Dirt is still at the station mm-hmm. and we're still at the station in, I don't know, how old is he?
Dirt's 28-ish, maybe. He's probably Lynch's age.
Let's get him to 40, mm-hmm. maybe short of 40.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah.
I bet he doesn't have that.
I don't know, man.
I bet he switches.
My dad still rocks. My dad's 60, whatever, and he rocks the Costanza wallet.
Don't.
No.
I'm just saying.
You converted me.
I have a normal wallet, I think. Just normal size, at least.
Yeah.
Not small, not money clip.
No, years ago, Rop was, I think, making fun of me, and I was like, really? I was like, what's wrong?
Make fun of you.
And you were like, dude, who carries that? And I was like, I don't know.
Is this what you're making fun of?
Yes.
I don't make fun of those. Who cares what you, it's whatever you like. Yeah. I don't care.
Rop questioned the validity of having to carry that. And the more I thought about it, I was like, that kind of makes some sense. And I was like, so I tried the money clip for a little bit, liked the money clip. And then I was like, well, what about one of these little skinny numbers? And this was a good decade ago, and I have not gone back. And that is a direct correlation to you pointing out that I do not need to carry around that crap.
That is a loaded money clip if I've ever seen one, though. There's a lot of stuff in there.
There's really not. There's a driver's license, two cards, and cash.
Yeah.
It just looks loaded.
The key is, well, that's because I have massive quantities of cash. No, I lost this morning on the course.
Mm.
I had to give up a bunch.
Like $9?
I was hoping to come in with a bag full of cash, but I didn't play very well.
So last time my...
Hold on. The key to a good money clip mm-hmm. is it has to be tight. Like it has to hold
everything.
Yeah,
it can't fall out. Like you're shaking it right now.
I'm shaking it right now and it's not coming out. That's the key.
Yeah.
Because if you get one where stuff's slipping out of there, that's no bueno.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a wallet.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like this little hybrid thing that I've got going on where it's got a money clip on the back of it, but it's got a spot to hold like what? Maybe 3-4 cards? Same thing. I got a driver's license, debit card, credit card, and insurance card, and then a clip on the back to hold whatever money you want.
I'm also quite anal about my cash carry in that I like big bills if I've got anything. I don't like 20s. I mean, 20s are cool, but only a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I have, let's say I have a couple $100, I want that to be in hundies. I want that to be in big bills, but at the same time, I'm very anal about this. I want all denominations of smaller bills.
You want a little something.
I need ones, I need fives, I need tens, I need it all.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Because you never know when the circumstances arise that you want to give a five, but you've only got a 20, and then it's awkward.
Yes, that's right.
It's nice just to
you
be able to peel off a five.
You have to be prepared for all situations.
I understand.
With cash.
Again, this is maybe the only positive impact you've had on me, that if I run out of cash, I will go by the ATM, and I do pick up some bills because now, I like carrying money on me.
I see here on the tweets that Holdall is listening, and he says that's what Venmo is for.
What's Venmo?
Venmo is a money sharing app.
It's an app.
Pay people on Venmo. It's
great.
Super easy.
Yeah, Venmo's great. But I don't know what he's referring to. Tips? You can't tip with Venmo.
I don't know. Maybe that's what he's talking about, like when I gave you money to pay the bill because I had to leave earlier.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's talking about.
You just use Venmo.
Well, Venmo's good. Mm. It definitely is.
I do not Venmo.
Pretty much everybody's on there.
Except me. Well, I'm like 1,000 years old.
Super simple. But anyway, a little hot money talk.
There you go.
For you guys.
All because
on
draft day. All because I found Dirt's wallet. Sure.
Yeah, Dirt's wallet. Dirt's $3.
Well, and here's the thing with Dirt. Because of the giant wallet, I'm assuming that he doesn't want to keep that in his pocket. And I don't blame him. Like I that's going to balance you off. That thing's like a 4 to 5 inch sort of like pack mule that you're sticking in the back pocket. And I would think that that's why it probably got left on the ground is he didn't have it in his pocket.
I just don't really understand all the stuff that people keep in there. You know, like there was a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like what is all that stuff?
I don't know. Well, I had this conversation with my dad. This is what I was going to say.
Receipts and crap?
Earlier, as my dad came over a couple weeks back. It was one of my kids' birthdays. And he saw the kind of the money clip, the small thing I had. And I started talking to him because my dad is a notorious giant wallet guy. I mean, like, it's enormous. And I started asking him, I'm like, why the hell do you need all that? And he started going through trying to tell me, and I was debunking it left and right. And he was like, well, yeah. Guess you don't need that. Like he had a Best Buy card. I'm like, you don't need to carry your Best Buy card.
Right.
And he's like, why?
They
I'm
have
like,
you in the system.
I'm like, they have you in the system. And I said, and if you want to, have you ever just suddenly had to go to Best Buy? Most of the time you're like, I'm going to Best Buy. Go into your desk, get out the card. I'm like, he had all of these things. And I'm like, you don't need any of those. And I thought I made an impact on him. about the eighth thing that I debunked, but he's set in his ways. He's never changing.
Yeah, that's fine.
He was born a giant wallet carrier. He's going to die a giant wallet carrier.
To each their own. But most of it's on like an app now. Like Starbucks used to have a card. Now it's an app.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So it's
yeah, you don't have the cars. Everyone's in the system.
By the way, on the monies talk, I saw where a couple of the banks now are toying with pay by voice.
Really?
Did you read that?
No.
Yeah, I think U.S. Bank is one of them where you're just going to be able to say, pay Souk $20 or whatever, and it will do it.
Well, yeah, people are getting on me here for not knowing what Venmo is. They're saying this is kind of like the Tesla thing. Is it that bad?
No, it's not on the same
level. It is not that bad.
Okay, no. Here's the thing with that.
You should know what it is, but it's not on the Tesla level.
Well, here's the thing with like the whole pay-to-voice
thing. And for those that don't know what that is, can I just repeat that real quick?
Yeah.
Because we talked about that on the golf course today, and I got made fun of again.
Well, Rob, we were going to let it go. You told us to let it go.
Let me just repeat it.
I was letting it go.
I'll tell the people what that means. No, I didn't know yesterday, and I'm totally serious about this.
Yeah.
I did not know that Tesla was all electric cars.
No.
And also didn't know that Tesla was a real person.
No, I thought Tesla was an old hot with big bumpers.
That was like the old rock band.
And I'm serious. So I don't know why I missed that. But I was one of the guys that played golf with us this morning, a friend of mine, Cy, he's a big car guy.
Yeah.
And his jaw hit the floor. He's like, huh? How do you not? I mean, really?
Well, that's why I didn't know. Like, some people who were giving me crap here on the text program about not knowing what Venmo is. So I was like, is it really that bad? But sounds like maybe not. But to a larger point, like whether it's the Venmo thing or you say that you can pay with your voice or what's the new one on the iPhone, you can look, right? You look at your phone and you pay. I understand that those are all those are cool technologies, right? Is it really that hard to pay? Like,
no, but this is where you're kind of being an old man.
This is where I'm being an old man?
A little bit. It's just easy.
Well, I understand that, but I guess this is my question. Is it really hard for me to take a card and do that?
No. The answer is no, but that's not the point.
The point is to make everyday tasks that much easier.
How much easier can it be?
Like way easier.
To pay.
Well, Sue.
Way easier.
As much as it's not difficult at all to take your card out, it's a lot easier to not do anything and just look, and all of a sudden it's paid. Like it's just amazing. Less things.
What if it just knew how much you wanted? Like you just look at it, stare at it with a $50 stare, and it's like, oh, that's a $50 stare, and it sends you $50.
Give me $50. There are times and this is my old curmudgeon, and I'm not against any of these technologies, and eventually I'm sure I'll end up doing it. I'll be late to the party, but sometimes I feel like we have innovation just for the sake of innovation because it's not really saving you any time or
well it doesn't again that's not the point. The point is keep evolving.
Okay.
Keep growing. Right. Let's do this better. Let's do that better. Let's do this better. Let's do that better. And before you know it, we'll be pretty good.
I'm just waiting for the Venmo or whatever to be the next Facebook, and then we're gonna find out that like
they did have a breach.
They're tracking you because of it, or someone's gonna get pissed off. I guess I'll just keep paying with $20.
I think Venmo had a well, like now you're starting to sound like my mom who refuses to do anything online because she thinks that it will all be stored and come back to bite her.
The government is spying.
It's like everything's online.
Yeah.
I'm
not against technology. I just sometimes feel like people are like, oh, you have to do this. And when I respond, why? No one really has an answer other than it's a slight improvement or slightly more convenient.
I think the way you need to think about that to wrap up this discussion, Jason.
Yeah.
Is think about that not in incremental terms, like, okay, that's marginally better to pay this way versus that way.
Yeah.
Think about 50 steps down the road where like the world is way effing cooler because they took this incremental step in 2018 and all of a sudden everything is like you look back and go, how did we ever find directions without Google or how did we ever, you know what I mean?
Valid
like,
point.
It goes slow.
That makes more sense to me.
And don't question it slow. Just look long-term and say that technology is going to get us to some really cool spots down the road.
That I'm able to compute that a lot better.
Thank you. That's my best. That's all I got today. I'm out of here.
Thanks for coming.
You guys enjoy the draft. I'll be back tomorrow. Okay. NBA draft. We start there next on The Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's not just Draft Week. It's Draft Day.
Yes.
Today's the draft. Yeah, it's very scary.
Even though the first six picks have already been announced.
They have?
Well, you know, you didn't see this today with Wojo.
Wojo?
Or Woj, I guess.
Wojo.
Wojo's slapping the floor at Duke, getting ready to play some mean-ass small white guy D.
What's Coach K reporting?
You know, they said that the NBA asked ESPN and its TV partners to not tip the draft picks. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, kind of eliminates Woj, who always has the picks. Well, Woj today tweeted out earlier this morning, he basically, and I'm paraphrasing, I'll look it up right now to find the actual one, but he said, this is the way the draft is shaking out right now, and he had the first six picks. So basically, he's not saying that those are the picks, but he's saying that those are the picks.
So you think they already know that this early?
I think they already know it. I mean, not that there can't be trades.
I think he's saying that this is what it's looking like, but yes, you never know.
Yeah. I have a real...
But NBA Twitter is going all a frenzy of, well, he's just saying this is what they look like, and they're going to turn out exactly that way.
I think that they're going to turn out exactly.
Wait, so he's going against... Now, he works for ESPN.
Yes.
No, he didn't go against, because all he said is... They're shaking out like this. He's not announcing the picks.
Yeah, I know, but that's his way of kind of saying,
yes,
don't hold me down, bitch.
Yes, this I believe this is a direct end round run over the NBA and ESPN. I can't announce the picks before they're happening. I've got a real good idea of what the picks are going to be, so oops, nuts to you, creepos. Here it is.
Okay, so here's what he says. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready for this?
Well, I already saw it because I told you about it.
But. No, I was just going to say what they are.
Yes.
So you guys can. So the draft is starting right now with the first pick in the 2018 NBA draft. The Phoenix Suns select DeAndre Ayton. Ayton?
Ayton.
Ayton. He's the Arizona guy.
Yeah. And by the way, that one's been known for like a month. Yeah, no one's disputing that. We know. That.
So he's staying in Arizona.
We knew the first three picks. We just weren't sure of two versus three of what order it was going to be.
The Kings are going to take Marvin Bagley Jr.
Yes.
They kind of got lucky, didn't they?
The Kings are... I think the Kings are the ones that moved up. They were not... I don't think they were slated to draft two.
They lucked into Bagley because they were not... I'm looking at their... Yeah, they won 27 games. There was one, two, three, four... There are five teams worse than them.
Yeah. Well, and some people are saying this.
Those bastards.
Bagley and Doncic are going to be the ones that are going to be compared because, you know, a lot of people think Doncic, the guy that played over in Spain, is the best player in this draft and was going to be one or two. And now with if you listen to Woj, Bagley going the number two, Doncic will go three, and that will be fun to watch those two and see how those careers develop because they'll be tied together.
So the Kings will have De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm, Marvin Bagley, Willie Cauley-Stein,
Buddy Hield.
Am I missing anyone?
I don't know if I'm missing if you're missing anyone of significance. Well, Zach Randolph was there.
Yeah, he's still there.
I thought he got another year?
Is he dead?
I thought maybe he was done.
Bogdanovich is there. So, okay, so that's not a bad little... Oh, Giles. They have Harry Giles.
Oh, okay.
Remember him?
And
Duke kid?
And Vince Carter.
Yeah, but...
He was a
thousand... Wait, Vince Carter's still there?
Yeah, he's 1,000 years old.
God.
Iman Shumpert?
Yeah. Okay, so that's not a bad little nucleus if you had Bagley in there, but they'll probably continue to suck.
Well, if Fox, he had an uneven rookie year, but if he turns out to be a nice point guard for you and... You know, you end up with Bagley, you know, popping, then yeah, sure, you may have something in Sacramento.
Then you have, this is Woj here, he says three will be the Hawks, and it's Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And that guy, I mean, I don't know much about him, but...
I don't know either, but if
they
you...
They compare him to, who'd we say yesterday?
What, Ginobili
and... Peter Turkoglu, right?
And Turkoglu, because he's not American, so we can't compare him to an American player.
No, it was Kukoc and Turkoglu.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Kukoc.
But hey, Kukoc was a hell of a player.
Kukoc does not get the credit. I think he just had so much hype coming over, and he's playing alongside Pippen and Jordan. It's, you know.
Now, would you rather be more like Kukoc or Turkoglu?
Kukoc.
Kukoc,
I would think,
right?
Kukoc.
Oh, yeah.
Heydu was pretty damn good, though.
Yeah, he was. You know, they
you can fill it up.
Well, and Peja, they had a bunch of the when Turkoglu and Peja played on the same team, that Kings team, minus maybe a Donahue ref, maybe wins an NBA title. It's a good with Weber and those guys.
So this kid plays in Slovenia?
I think he plays in Spain. I think he's
from Real Madrid.
He's from Slovenia.
Yeah.
And he plays for Real Madrid. He's 6'8", 225, and they say he's probably the most mature prospect that Europe has seen in years.
Yeah, he's getting the label as, I've read, best European prospect since Dirk.
What about Porzingis?
Yeah, Porzingis ended up being a star too. But people are so high on this. They're saying basketball IQ off the charts, can do everything. The knock on him that I've read is the top-end athleticism is not there. He's not that fast. He can't jump. That he's just he's not a great athlete.
I also heard he wasn't a great defender. He's amazing offensively, but
well,
defensively.
There you go. And again, with the athleticism.
So he can shoot.
Well, they say that the basketball IQ is off the charts.
Okay,
so you don't have to necessarily be an elite athlete in order to be a good NBA player. Larry Bird wasn't necessarily an elite athlete. And last time I checked, Bird ended up being pretty good.
Neither is Dirk.
And remember, they're both white, so that's a fair comparison.
Right. And as is Dirk.
Yes. Yeah, only white
Dirk
guys.
Dirk was pretty special, man.
Yeah.
So Doncic.
Well, and to be fair, Doncic is not 7 feet and he can't shoot the ball like Dirk.
And then we go, according to Woj, the fourth pick goes to, he doesn't have it on here. Who picks fourth? Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis, and they're going with Jaren Jackson Jr.
The kid from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Okay. And then fifth is the Mavericks, Mo Bamba.
Mm-hmm.
As Seth Greenberg called him, the hybrid between Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, physical freak, really raw, but uber talented.
So the Mavericks then would have Dennis Smith
slanging that wood,
slanging his wood, and then you would have also there Harrison Barnes and Mo Bamba.
Yeah,
and then of course Dirk's still there, but.
And Wes Matthews is still there.
And they think. See, I read today that the Mavericks think they can sign DeAndre Jordan or perhaps even DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, that Cousins is a free agent, and they have definitely some interest there.
And then Orlando is six, and that's where Woj stops. And he's got them taking Trae Young.
Yeah, and he's the Oklahoma kid that that gets the wonderful comparison to Steph Curry.
And so Orlando would then have, they have Fournier, Aaron Gordon, Vucevic. And anybody else? Boy, they suck.
Yeah, Orlando's not good.
God. Hey, they have Aaron Aflalo and Terrence Ross. Oh, they have they drafted Jonathan Isaac.
And Trae Young.
He wasn't very good as a rookie.
Trae Young is the guy also that said that he would beat both Klay Thompson and Steph Curry in a shooting contest.
How tall is Trae Young?
What, six foot maybe? I don't think he's very, very big.
This says 6'2". 6'2"? 180.
Yeah, he is thinly built.
All right. Well,
they had, who was it? Dirt and Sprague had, I think, Ben Golliver on today.
Mm-hmm.
I like Golliver had a pretty good one. He was saying that the rumor was that Trae Young had put on 15 pounds since the end of the season. And Golliver goes, I just saw him. And he goes, I don't know where he's hiding that 15 pounds. Guy turns sideways and he disappears. So maybe not 15 pounds. Maybe like six.
All right. Well, that's according to Woj. I don't know whether you believe him or not. ESPN can't be happy about that tweet, but we'll see if it plays out that way.
Wouldn't it be great if he goes 6 for 6?
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, hey, you told me not to tweet out the picks. I didn't.
I think it's interesting that he doesn't have Memphis on there at 4 because Memphis is looking to trade out of that spot.
Yeah,
so
it could be.
Who could that be jumping in there? Like,
yeah, Memphis has said that that pick is open if someone wants to.
If they want to take Chandler Parsons $50 million.
Yeah. Take Chandler Parsons and give us something back, and you can have the number 4 overall pick.
Okay, well, what will the Blazers do? Let's talk about what we're hearing about that coming up next. Here's Mike.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Somebody texted in and said that Woj had to go with the top six because he had to whip his you know what out because that sham guy tweeted the top two picks earlier.
Yeah,
so Woj had to be like whoa.
But he's like, let's measure
my territory.
Hey, this water is cold, and Woj is like, yeah, it's also deep.
So they used to work together?
Yeah. So he's kind of like his disciple. And now that he's left, there's a little bit of that sibling rivalry going on right now. But everyone had the top two picks. I swear, like, three guys tweeted out almost at the exact same time. I feel like both teams just called everyone and was like, hey, just so you know, Bagley Jr. and Ayton going 1-2.
This guy's an insider for Yahoo because that's where Woj used to be, right?
Yeah, they worked together.
Shams Charania.
Sure.
Tell you what, he's got a ways to go to catch up to Woj in the follower department, I'll tell you that.
Woj has what, a couple mil?
2.35 mil, it says right here.
Yeah. Who's the biggest Twitter follow?
Oh, I don't think you want to know that.
What?
Well, I saw a list one time of the top, mm-hmm. and it's all very demoralizing. It's like Idiocracy type stuff.
Is the Prez number one?
I think Kardashian has more.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Sue still hasn't watched that movie, by the way.
I haven't. That's like the one movie I haven't seen, and it's on the DVR. I just need to get around to watching it. I got a lot of Stallone movies that I have to get through. Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I've been on a Steven Seagal kick lately, so it's going to be tough.
Number one. Okay, this was last updated June 19th, 2018. That's like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Number one in the world, Kate Perry.
How is that even possible?
I think it's really sexy.
She's 110 million followers, dude.
Is she nude on there all the time? How is there 100 million people following Katy Perry?
She's universal.
Is she? Now, everybody again, loves her. Maybe I'm just, this is like the whole.
Don't forget the American Idol thing, too.
Oh, but is she that big a deal? Like, I knew Katy Perry was big, but
I think she is.
Boy, I
would go ahead and say yes on that.
Surprises me a little bit.
Number two, Justin Bieber. 107 million. Barack Obama has 103.
Oh.
Rihanna, 89. Taylor Swift, 86. Lady Gaga, 79. Ellen, 78. Here's our first athlete. Cristiano Ronaldo has 74.
Good Lord.
YouTube has 72. Justin Timberlake, 66. There's your top 10. And there's Kardashian at 60, so I was off. And that's not too bad of a list.
I follow then two in the top 10 because I
know. You have that many followers.
You what?
I said, when you have that many followers, can you really like?
No.
Can you really tweet? Like, don't you have to be?
You know, I doubt anyone runs their own Twitter at that point,
contrived.
Right?
Contrived. It's all it's all for.
I think I follow Obama because I follow Trump. I follow the president, and I follow Gaga. I don't think I follow any of the other ones.
Gaga?
Yeah, I like Gaga. I am 100% pro Lady Gaga. I like what she's got going on.
That leads to a Twitter follow.
Yeah, at least.
What is she tweeting about that's so interesting?
Right.
I don't really know.
See, I'm so with Mike on that. Like,
but I follow her.
There are a lot of people that I really like that I won't follow them on Twitter because they're just not that interesting on there, but I still like them. Like, because just because you like someone doesn't mean you should follow them on Twitter because, you know, the tweets, it's, I don't know, it's an interesting space.
I can't say that I've ever.
Everybody's different with it.
Off the top of my head that I've really seen anything that Lady Gaga tweets. I think I like Lady Gaga. I probably came across it in a retweet or something. It was like, oh, Lady Gaga, follow.
I just followed Myers Leonard. He's one of the few athletes I follow.
Myers, I followed him for a while, and he follows me back.
Yeah.
I talked about his shorts.
You guys are buddies.
I talked about his shorts one time, too. I don't know if he remembers me. I've done a couple of the charity things with him. Like, we bowled together, and I think we played golf once. But I commented once that he was wearing short shorts. I was like, that's a lot of thigh.
Because he wears really short shorts.
He does. Myers Leonard's like a fashion dude. He wears the short shorts. And he commented back and he followed me. But that's a guy, like if I'm Myers Leonard, I don't know if I'm on Twitter because he just gets
roasted.
Alley whipped on there all the time. And
yeah.
I don't care how like thick your skin is. That can't feel good.
I tell you what, man.
He got into it today with someone.
This city needs to lay off that guy.
I know.
You all, if you are who I'm talking about, if you're a culprit, just lay off that dude.
Yeah, it's become.
Good grief.
It's just become like the thing to do. Like if you're pissed about something, just go beat up Myers Leonard.
He's a nice guy. He's a hell of a dude.
Yes.
Good guy.
Couldn't be a nicer guy. Great in the community. He works his ass off.
He's trying.
It just hasn't
been that good.
Yeah.
Look, blame Olshay.
Yeah, he didn't. It's,
he's the one that drafted him.
Exactly. If someone offered you $10 million a year, you would take the deal too.
Guys, move on.
But I do think that he has become an unfair whipping boy in the city for like for all things that are wrong with the Blazers. And I promise you, of all the things that are wrong with this franchise, Myers Leonard is not the biggest reason why you're not where you want
to
be.
I just think people need to be a little more above board on there. It's this. We talked about this yesterday with Twitter. It's like, sometimes it just, this is why people don't want to interact on there.
Yeah.
Because you just, I don't know. It's like, at the same time though, I'm reading this deal with him and Cameron Scarlett. I just found out about this today.
Yeah, Central Catholic kid, and he's now a running back, fullback down in Stanford.
I think you just got to be, if I'm Myers Leonard, you just got to be bigger than that. You can't dive into the mud with these guys. Like, so Cameron Scarlett is this, like you said, he's a running back at Stanford?
He's a running back at Stanford.
He's a local guy.
Yeah, a Central Catholic kid.
And he... Somebody tweeted something where Leonard was talking about putting in some work for the summer, right?
Myers Leonard puts out a lot of workout photos, and he said
summer grind.
Yeah, and they, it was a photo of him working out or shirtless or whatever. And the dude's put together, and he posts a lot of that stuff on Twitter. You see it. And out of nowhere, Scarlett decided to take a jab at him.
He said, you need to grind yourself right over to a new organization.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Jesus, dude. I know it's like the weirdest thing. So Myers Leonard's tweeting about working hard. I guess you're just bored. You see that, like, you follow him, and so then you decide to take a shot.
Well, and he probably is looking for like retweets and likes from his followers.
Yeah.
And oh, look at what I just said to Myers Leonard.
Yeah. And Leonard.
Yeah, you're right. He's fishing a little bit for some people. Like, yeah, let's get Myers Leonard.
And it worked.
So Leonard replies with LOL. That means laugh out loud.
Yes.
My kid told me that. really? Hating via Twitter. That's nice, pal. I make more of an impact on people in the community than you ever will, and more successful than you can dream about being. And to be honest, I'm surprised I'm replying to someone as worthless as you. But I guess I'll leave it at that. He now.
Yeah.
He went after him.
That got really
dark. See, I just don't think he should... I don't know. Sometimes... Like, that's... For the people who are giving Myers Leonard crap, which I don't think you should do.
It's like the best thing in the world.
That's what they want.
Yes.
That's right there. That's what they want. And you, that's why they're trolling you.
Yeah. And Cameron Scarlett got exactly, like you said, exactly what he wanted. He got a rise out of a professional athlete, got to make fun of him, got probably a bunch of follows and retweets, gets talked about on air, and then is able to take some jabs kind of right back at him.
Well, yeah, his response back was... Scarlett's was brutal too. He goes, that's all hypothetical since I'm still in college. I got some big dreams, dog. I don't know if coming off the bench, averaging 3 points and 2 boards will fulfill them, but to each their own.
Yeah.
Like, it actually turned into a little bit of a back and forth.
This is why Twitter sucks.
Yeah. You know, it's the Twitter tough guy thing. It just turns into, I want to cut you. I mean, there was no reason for it, but then Myers Leonard sent one back. And so then once that happens, then you're going to get the back and forth, and welcome to Twitter.
But I do like the athlete comeback of, dude, okay, yeah, hasn't worked out the way I want.
Yeah.
Look how much money I have in the bank. Okay. I love that. I love it when I really do like it when athletes come back with that. Like, dude, you can rag on me all you want.
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of money and I'm in the NBA. I'm in the top 0.1 of my field.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sucked. I'm grinding. I'm still working. Yeah. But F you. I don't mind that at all.
Call me when you're a first round NFL pick.
I just don't mind that at all. You know, it's like it reminds me of the time when Manny Ramirez said, what did Manny Ramirez say that the World Series? He's like, look,
I'll be okay.
Yeah. Yes, we lost. I really wanted to win for you, but
I'll be all right.
I'm going to be fine.
I'll wake up tomorrow and mind these to the effect of my life's going to be fine.
LeBron did this once too.
Yeah.
And he told somebody to go back to their crappy ass life or something. So I don't know. I just, I follow Myers because at this point I'm pulling for him.
I am too. And I like him. I've met him a handful of times and he's a really nice guy and I get that it hasn't worked out. And when you're a professional athlete, you do have to take criticism, especially when it hasn't worked out. But I do feel that he has become an unfair punching bag. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Blazers signed him to a huge deal. And I don't think that's his fault.
All right. Well, anyway, enough about that. Cameron Scarlett. But the Blazers, let's talk about what the Blazers may do tonight. Because tonight is the draft.
It is.
And the Blazers may make a draft pick.
Possibly. I've heard everything from selecting at 24 to trading it and not having to pick at all, or the ever popular moving up in the draft.
I hear they're targeting another white guy.
Well, I hope so.
Why?
Because we need another white guy to throw the white out at him. I think there's only four of them right now.
I feel like that's misguided commentary.
Well, I don't think there's five white guys. And in order to throw a white out, or is there an Egyptian? Because then you could throw a Patino, which is even better. Four white guys and an Egyptian.
All right. We'll get to that next. 345 on the Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, the NBA draft is coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have the picks live. We'll do that whole thing.
More importantly, I have made a mistake, and I need to correct it. I did not think the Blazers had enough for a wideout. I forgot about Jake Layman. They do. They can throw five white guys. They've got Nurk, Zach Collins, Layman, Connaughton, and Myers Leonard. Now, that's an unbalanced lineup.
Leonard at the point.
It's a lot of bigs, but technically.
Well, Leonard doesn't play center, so that's fine. He could be the 3-point shooter in the corner.
You know, they've got enough to throw a wideout out there. So I'm sorry.
Intern Pete said, the Portland Pale Blazers.
Now, if you could get a white guard, though, I'd like to see that group bounced out a little bit. If we could.
I tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian. We tried everything.
That's my favorite clip that we've ever played on the show. That is a real thing that was said at a press conference by Rick Pitino.
So I was looking here. The Blazers. Now, the rumor was today that NBADraft.net had this, that the Blazers were one of two teams, including the Pacers, Kevin Pritchard, looking to trade up to get that DiVincenzo guy from Villanova.
Yeah.
And he's a whitey.
And he was the Final Four MVP.
Yeah, he's interesting prospect, but he's like mid-teens. The Blazers picked 24th, so we'll see. But I was looking back at their picks, and I think, wasn't Olshay's first draft the Lillard draft?
Bro.
Wasn't that right?
That may have been his first one. I know he drafted him. I'm not sure if he was here the one before that or not.
I don't think he was, so I'm going to go with 1, 2, 3, 4.
And that would have been the Myers Leonard draft too, right? Lillard and Leonard come? Because that was the one where the rumor was that Leonard went 11th and they were trying to move up to 9 or 10 to draft Andre Drummond. Couldn't quite get it done. He went to Detroit at 9 and then Leonard went 11.
Out of the 9 draft picks, and this is not everyone, but it's the main ones, for Neil Olshay, 5 are white and 3 of the last 4 are white. And it appears that they are targeting another white guy this year.
Yes.
So is it possible that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and even Caleb Swanigan are simply smokescreens for racism?
This is all part of a grandiose scheme. Nice. You know, this is the sort of courage that's going to get us into the top 70.
I don't know. Too many white guys.
Guys, move on.
I feel like.
Guys, move on.
You know, here's another guy.
Is Swanigan really white and we just don't know it?
Ha!
Course.
Here's another guy they could be targeting, and that's that Mo Wagner guy, the guy from Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And I like him more than I like Zach Collins. I'll say that just from having watched Mo Wagner in college. I kind of like him. I don't know what he's going to be, but...
He's the German kid, right?
Yeah, he's got a pretty cool story.
Shoot big the ball. Time, yeah, shoot the ball a little bit.
Big-time prospect from Germany, went to Michigan. So, there's too many white guys on the board for me. I feel like... I don't know what Neil Olshay's up to, but because you have Zach Collins, then and Swanigan last year, so you got 50-50.
Yeah.
But before that, it was Layman and Connaughton, and they also traded for Plumlee, so there's another whitey.
Wow.
And then 14, they didn't.
What is happening here?
Nothing in 2014. 13 is CJ McCollum and Jeff Withey, and they traded Withey for Robin in the Robin Lopez deal, so there's another one. And then you have Lillard and Leonard. And Will Barton in there, too.
This is far too much white. This is unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the trend.
No.
I don't like the trend.
I'll be interested to see if they're able to do something. I know they want to move up, but I ask the question of what do you have to move up?
I don't know, man. Let's just let them see. Let's let them try to work their magic, and then
see what happens.
We can dissect it later.
they can draft a player that we've never heard of, and then we can instantly judge him. This is ridiculous.
Right. It's like, I don't know. I think you should brace for more of the same from the Blazers, which is...
Well, they'll put a spin on it.
You know, Olshay has not been a bad drafter.
I mean,
if you talk about talent evaluation, just core talent evaluation in the draft, I think he's been pretty good at that.
Yeah, and you can't judge the Zach Collins thing. I mean, everyone wants to sit there, and we love to do the, oh, he was a foundational player.
Although Swanigan over Kuzma is a bit of a kick in the nuts.
That one does sting a little bit because Kuzma ended up being one of the best rookies
in
the league.
You know, the Myers Leonard thing.
Well... To be
Donovan
fair,
Mitchell
I guess
was on the board too.
Who?
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
Year.
Yeah, last year, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that position-wise, I get that. But at the same time, I don't, because, I don't know, a lot of people thought he was the, he was just the best guy right there. And
yeah.
Just take him yeah. and worry about balancing out the roster later. But that's not their, that wasn't their philosophy.
In fairness to the Myers-Leonard thing, they wanted Andre Drummond instead. They just couldn't move up two spots. So you wanted the right guy in that situation. You just couldn't get him.
A lot of fails. A lot of, but you know, they drafted Lillard McCollum and mm-hmm. thank God they did that.
Yeah.
Or maybe thank God, I don't know. It's like, because you got that, you're kind of mediocre. You know what I mean? Like getting Lillard and McCollum means that you win more games that you kind of, it's getting you nowhere.
You wanted, look, you made the right decision. Those are two really nice pieces, including an all NBA first team guy. I mean, that's the right one. And then, you know, give, to be fair, give Collins another year or two and see what happens. I do think it's fair to hold him to that, that they did not say that Zach Collins was going to be a decent player. They said Zach Collins was an impact franchise pillar type player. And in two years, if that's not the case, and Zach Collins is a marginal starter or giving you, you know, 10 and 9, that's not good enough. Cause you were sold something.
This is a prime example of why tanking is better. And teams can be, well, you can argue whether taking's better or not, but teams are incentivized to tank because you're always talking about how, well, if you draft well, you can acquire the big time free agents because they'll want to come there because you have a good foundation and it doesn't matter if it's small market or big market, which is true.
Yes.
But if you draft well, you start winning more games
and it's harder
and you can't get those picks. Whereas tanking, like what Philly has done, and even Boston somehow has just continues to find their way to the top of these drafts.
That and just deal with Brooklyn because they'll give you all of their picks and they're awful.
But when you do that, you just get better picks and it's easier to, it's just like a catch 22 that you draft Lillard and McCollum. So you get better. They get you up into the playoffs and now you have crappy draft picks. So you can't really add to it.
It's weird that you're right in that you've got like a 2-year window to suck, to hit home runs.
Yes.
Not doubles, not triples, home runs. And I know it didn't work out because the team ended up breaking up, but Oklahoma City, AKA Seattle, was the best example of this in a 2 to 3 year window. They drafted Kevin Durant, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, Russell Westbrook. And while doing that, they were awful. They were terrible, and they were able to grab those guys. And then that group developed, and they got really good. Now, they had to break it up. They decided they couldn't pay Harden, so he ended up leaving. But that group, that's if you're a small market team and you want to know how to do it, the best way to do it, Philly is another one. I know not necessarily small market, but the whole tanking thing. If Philly had not screwed it up with Markelle Fultz, let's say they had taken Jason Tatum with that and then had the ability to then go out and add a marquee free agent, which Philadelphia does from a cap situation, it can be done. It's just very difficult to do. But yeah, you're right. You have to have a 2 to 3 window where you suck. You get top 5 picks. And in those top 5 picks, you have to hit difference makers. You can't hit decent players. You have to hit all-star real difference makers.
Curry, Clay, Barnes and Green.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4 drafts.
That's four drafts. And then you got, I don't know if you want to say you got lucky, but you had Draymond Green fall to you in the second round.
Yeah. Barnes was was seventh overall. They picked Festus Ezeli too there. And then Draymond Green, they all three of those guys the year before Klay Thompson, the year before that, nobody. And the year before that, Curry. So four year window.
Yeah.
So that's what's hard. It's like it's very hard when you're the Blazers, like you're trying to spread this out and build this thing over. We're now looking at year 7,
yeah.
Right? Draft 6. 1, 2, 3.
Is this 6
four.
Or is this 7?
No, this will be the 7th draft that you're trying to build that. And when you pick 24th, it's really hard.
It is. It is. But this is, if you are a small market team, there really isn't a other way to do it. It's really the only way to do it.
So we'll have the picks. We will play them, you know, top 10 or so. And we'll probably be on the air when the Blazers pick, and we'll keep you abreast of all the, you know, the cool rumors about all the white guys they're going to take and assemble, trading all the black guys for all the white guys.
It worked for the 80s Celtics.
We'll tell you what you need to know, so keep it here. But let's move on, shall we? I have audio of Colin Cowherd's show.
I heard this today. I didn't. It was like a 25-minute interview I heard 15 minutes of it today.
Baker Mayfield was
in there. And I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield guy. I always kind of thought he was a putz. I kind of came away liking me some Baker Mayfield.
So I want to play that. Do you have that, Mike? Do we have that?
I do. It is 3 minutes and 38 seconds.
Perfect. Not that long. That's good. We'll play that next. Well, they got into it a little bit. It's 4 o'clock on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.